Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Fairbanks City Council work session this February 6, 2024. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Pruse.
I'm here along with the knocking.
Yes, and we have a little echo. I'll try to figure that out. Sorry about that. Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Ms. Rogers.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell. Mr. Marnie.
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstad.
Here.
Also, we show Mr. Barnwell, the news miner, and Ms. Meredith checking in online. Okay, first item up is Ordinance 6269, Ordinance amending the Fairbanks General Code 74-117, Room Rental Tax Purpose and Limitation by adding compliance requirements to the subsection, which is postponed. And we have the ordinance, and then we have the as amended proposed substitute, which we've been mainly working on. Mr. Marnie, you want to bring us through it?
Well, thanks to our great attorney, we've been able to come up with something I think puts what we want to say into writing. We've had, some off and on. We've met a few times, but I think this is what we've given actually a clause in here in case something like the COVID or something hit again, that we would give them an extension as long as they came to us prior. So I think this is a good ordinance. I sat on that board of directors over there for Explore Fairbanks, and they're on top of it. They'll have their 2020 audit done soon, if not now. They're going to have reviews done on 21 and 22, and then a full audit on 23. They've gone to a local accounting firm, Wilson & Wilson, and she was there at the meeting, and it looks like things are back together again the way they should be.
Thank you very much. Are any questions on this proposed substitute ordinance 6269? Ms. Sprinkle.
I just want to, what I'm reading, I believe, is that the only entity that has to work with a CPA is the person asking for $500,000 or more. Is that correct? Fantastic. Just confirming that. Thank you.
Ms. Marguerite, do you have something to add?
A review would also require an independent accountant, CPA. And I provided this attachment. I know we use the term review a lot, but in the accounting world, when you're reviewing financial statements, you're providing some form of attesting. And so I provided this chart to kind of show you the difference between the audit, the review, and the compilation, and what that different requirement and what it entails for the CPA in regards to those different types of services. Now, a financial statement can be prepared by any, individual. They can compare it. But when you want some sort of attesting that the statements are, in fact, in order, you want to use get an audit or review, and that's what you're requiring at certain levels.
Ms. Sprinkle.
So for anything under $100,000, I'm looking in here, it says something about, it still says a compliance. So am I using that word compliant to look at the chart to say that's what they've got to go through?
Right. When it's under $100,000, you're correct. There's no need for an independent review or audit.
Okay, good.
By CPA.
The financial burden for those groups looked very concerning to most of the people I heard from.
Right, correct. Okay. For $100,000 and above. Below.
Super. Thank you very much.
Any other questions before we move on?
This is June.
Yes, June.
With those groups that are under a certain ceiling like that, I'm trying to remember, is there a specific statement in the application that has their board stating that they themselves have reviewed this information?
There is a certification. It doesn't state that the board reviewed the application, but there is a certification that the application that they provided is, you know, true, kind of accurate, you know, that it provided all of the documentation. So whoever is signing for the discretionary grant, you're referring to the discretionary grant, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There is just a certification that they provided the information that's requested, but there isn't anything that states that the board has approved it.
Okay. I'd also like to note for the record that Jake has taken care of the pounding system here.
Thank you,
Jake. You're closest to it.
Okay. So is he in a new ball?
Well, of course. Okay. Let's move on to ordinance number 6272, an ordinance amending the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Fairbanks and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 1547, introduced by myself. And this is bringing in a new Deputy Clerk 2 position, which we're looking at as a records manager, I believe, for Danny. Any questions on this? Seeing none, we will move on to resolution number 5100, resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks accept funds from the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program and Carbon Reduction Program, allocating Fairbanks Area Surface Transportation Fast Planning. Introduced by myself, and what this does, this allows us to apply for a piece of equipment, a trackless MT7 sidewalk tractor with attachments, whereas a $32,298,000 match is required. And we're getting grant funds of $191,037 we're applying for. Total costs, our fiscal note again is $32,298. And total cost of this is $223,335. Mr. Ringstead.
The fiscal note, we've got other funds of $13,000. We've got a general fund, we've got a capital fund, and we've got another fund. What's the other?
That's referencing other costs that's associated with the project. So the funding source, you have the grant funds down below, and you have the capital fund contingency.
But there,
what's the 1335?
What's the 13?
It's a state administrative cost.
So the state's providing money for this? I mean, it's a funding source. It says 13,000.
They're taking it.
No, they're taking it. It's a cost. The top part is the cost, total cost.
It's a lot of money.
The state is charging the city.
Funding source says 13,000 others. So is that? Should be just to the top part as a cost, not on the bottom.
Oh, yes. I see what you're referring to. The city's total capital fund contingency will be $32,298. It will cover the cost for other and the cost, a portion of the equipment.
Yeah, our capital contingency is about 9.5%. And we also have to pay for the state's review application, et cetera, et cetera, and that's the $13,335.
So that's a big take, huh?
$13,000 to
get. Yeah, wow.
They're having a deficit this year, too.
So it costs us to get the money that the state's going to give us. That much money. That's a lot.
Correct. Right. We're charging administrative cost.
Is that a percentage?
Yes.
Of what?
They use a 9.9%. And I'll let Sarah address that. They're using the 9%, which is usually their administrative cost. When we have road projects, they charge the same as well.
Mr. Cleworth.
It's not the state giving us money. This is Fed money.
Sure, but the state's taking a piece.
They're still taking their pound of flesh, yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Not totally germane to this, but Margarita, back in the COVID years, there was a huge list of new equipment that was being funded with COVID money.
That is true. We used the American Rescue Plan funds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we could get updated on what's happened with that and what we've actually purchased with that and a list of that. I'd like to see that again sometime.
Oh, yes. I can do that. Okay. We're waiting for an engine, and we are finalizing the fuel enclosure, but I will definitely give you an update on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Margarita. Mr. Marnie.
So what does this thing look like? I know we've got, we started out with a cab type of little tractor thing, and then I've seen these ones where they're almost like a gladiator where they stand and the thing is.
Mr. Marnie, I'd like to give you a detailed description of it, but I have no idea.
Okay.
So you just gave a very good detailed description.
I'm here for that. I like that.
Mr. Sanders, do you have any further detailed description on this thing?
It's gotta be.
I can in a second.
Well, you know, my long life goal in life is to be able to keep the Golden Heart Plaza, at least a trail system built in there instead of just piles of snow.
I like your vision. I like your vision. Any other questions before we move on? Seeing none. Next is Ordinance 6273, an ordinance authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for funds from the United States Department of Transportation for rebuilding the American Infrastructure Sustainability, the Raised Directionary Grant Program, Island Home Subdivision Reconstruction, and amending the 2024 capital budget. That's not introduced. If you look at this, now, we have applied for this grant twice. We've been denied twice. And so I went down to Washington, D.C. specifically for this grant. And I got not encouraging words, but redirecting words. The first thing that, you know, they told me was, you get $20 million, that's a really big ask. It takes about 6 to 7 years. So what we're going to be doing is taking this, there's $21 million here, but that's for both roads, water, and sewer. So over the course of the next few months, we're going to be applying basically for two different ones. We're keeping this here in place, but we're doing two separate asks, dropping them down to $10 million. We have a higher hit rate with that amount. And I'll be working directly with Senator Murkowski's staff on the application on how to submit it. So I had a great working 2 hours with them on different aspects, and so intend to use that. So now we know why we didn't get it, but we know how to potentially get it. Ms.
So
Sprinkle.
It was just because it was a high number, 20,000.
Everyone's asking. 20 million. Everyone's asking, and they have to separate it out. And they said, you know, they told us how to score better from 21 to 20, 22 to 23. We scored lower because so many other people applied for it, and so ours was a lower score because it was so high. And they literally said, you know, the senator's office said, it takes 6 to 7 years for something like that. So I thought, okay, and they showed us, let's try it this way.
Good.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyway. Any other questions? Mr. Ringstead.
Down here in the bottom, we're amending the budget to put $1.3 million in this thing. Why are we budgeting the money before we've got it? I mean, it might be a year, it might still be a couple of years.
I can't hear you, Mr. Ringstead.
It might be quite a while before we get this money. We're not sure we're going to get it. When are we going to get it? So why are we appropriating the capital money now?
Ms. Margarita?
We would appropriate the funds once we receive the grant. There was a new ordinance that any grant that requires a budget amendment be proposed to the council through an ordinance in two readings. So this is what this will do. It will not be appropriated until the grant is awarded and approved.
So we're budgeting for it, but we're not appropriating it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mr. Marney.
Well, my only fear is I know we've used this $20 million as a cost for a couple of years now. With inflation, are we still happy with $20 million?
It went from 20 to 21 now, and so they've adjusted it. They have adjusted it.
Okay.
Kirsten has handled it, and they with Bob's overview, and again, this number came from them, and it's an updated number.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions before we move on? Okay, let's go to ordinance 6274, an ordinance authorizing the state of Fairbanks to apply for funds from the United States Department of Transportation for rebuilding American infrastructure with sustainability through the Gray's Discretionary Grant Program for Cal Street Reconstruction and amending the 2024 capital budget. So, again, scene one, take two. Any questions? Mr. Ringstead.
What are we doing in turn? We're rebuilding it. Are we staying within the existing?
I can't hear you again.
Are we staying within the existing roadway, or are we just resurfacing, residewalking, or?
Yes. I don't, you know, Bob's not here. I don't know if they've done any planning for eminent domain or condemnation. Seems like it's all reconstruction of the existing way.
Well, that's what, I mean, to me, if you're going to widen that road, you're going to buy up all the property in the street. So that's going to be a huge cost to do something like that. So I guess with the same question I had last time, okay, we're budgeting for $2 million, putting it into our budget. Realistically, when are we going to get this money?
That's from
capital
fund.
You're saying it's probably a couple of years from now.
Yeah.
So I'm still.
You look at your budget now. If we get it, then you designate it. You put it into an ordinance. And Margaret, what's the amount that we have unrestricted capital?
At this time, it will depend on the budget amendment. But presently, we're at $4 million.
Okay.
So this will become very close to it. But if we appropriate the funds based on prior to the budget amendment that you'll be reviewing, we have $6.9 million. But after that budget amendment, the amount will change depending on what you decide to do.
Okay.
So it's fluid.
It just seems.
And with that, has the finance committee looked at the amount that they want to transfer from unexpended funds to the capital? Okay. So it's work in progress. Mr. Ringstead.
It just seems odd to me that something that we might not get for a year, 2 years, 5 years, we don't know if we're ever going to get it. We're already budgeting and allocating so they then become designated funds in our capital fund. Before we get this, we might have several other priorities that become more important to us. And it just seems
that is correct.
Several years down the road, and we're committing, saying this is a project we're going to fund, and we don't even know when it's going to be, within several years.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I think, though, it's, you know, when we've worked in finance, talking about what's down the road, this is giving us a heads up whether or not we need it right away. At least we know, we're looking at $4 million to take care of these two roads. It's not going away yet. It's not being put.
Right. But that, to me, that's
a heads up.
It's a heads up, but
it's a lot.
Designating the money is maybe we're going to undesignate it later when we get a different higher priority. I mean,
Ms.
if we were going to do this in the next 18 months, fine. But if it takes 7 years to get a $20 million chunk, you know, this could be 10 years from now.
Mr. Sanders.
Yeah, but you'll know if you get the grant within the year. So if you don't get the grant, then those funds go back to the capital. Yeah.
Mr. Clayworth.
Mayor, actually a question for you. I thought that, that there was Cowell Street funding on the TIP.
You know, this is the first time I've seen this, to tell you the truth.
Okay,
so.
I need to grab that. Something doesn't seem right here to me.
We'll take a look. I'll get some more from Bob, and again, this is the first time I've seen this. So, and I thought it was a TIP, too. So we'll have more review and discussion on this one. Okay, any other questions before we move on? Seeing none, ordinance number 6275, an ordinance amending the 2024 operating and capital budgets for the first time. Margarita.
Oh, good morning again. If you'll come with a follow, I wanted to start with the fiscal notes section of the ordinance, and then we'll move back to pages 2 and 3. This is the first budget amendment. It sounds like a short time to start a budget amendment, but we've closed out the books for 2023. And mainly what this budget amendment does is it authorizes us to spend the funds that will be carried over through purchase orders from contracts that have not been fulfilled. And so basically you'll see this term encumbrance carry forward. And that's basically what it means, is that we have purchase orders that were open in 2023 for projects that were not completed in 2023. You'll also see reappropriations throughout this amendment, and basically those are projects that you funded in 2023 under the capital fund. You'll mainly see it there, that we were able to appropriate some portions of it and get the project started, but there's still some parts of those projects that need to be completed, so you'll see that as well. So if you'll start with me on page 5, we'll look at the general fund. We'll start there. The first number you see is a $5 million transfer to the capital fund. Later on in this meeting, there is a report from the Finance Committee, and that was a discussion that they had at their last meeting, and this is their recommendation for a transfer to the capital fund. It was great discussion, and I kind of recapped it in the notes that you'll see later in the agenda. You'll see under information technology, that's the first area where you'll start seeing that increase for encumbrance carry forward. Some of the new items under the general account, we added during the budget process a trainee account, and I'm asking to increase that by $50,000. And my main reason for requesting that is the fire department needs 3 trainees. They want to get 3 set up from March to May in preparation for filling vacant position, and this is the chief's effort to reduce overtime. Then we have a $10,000 increase to distributions for Clay Street Cemetery. That was at the meeting. That would be a new one. We're asking to add a wellness program in the medical line for projects in this city hall to improve, you know, activities for improve the and Mike can help me here, the gym, yeah, for staff for the wellness program. And the other items that you'll see under the general fund for our encumbrance carry forward, and that's under the general fund. For the capital fund, you'll see that $5 million coming in. I'm on page 6 on the fiscal note for the capital fund. You'll see the $5 million increase in revenue from that transfer from the general fund. Under property repair and replacement, you'll see the carry forward from encumbrance carry forward. We had an emergency at the police building for a heat and chain exchanger replacement. That is a new project for the capital fund. You'll see reappropriation for the City Hall steam replacement project. The child care project, reappropriation, the City Hall security project, Polaris building project, and City Hall windows project. Those are all projects that started in 2023. There were some portions of those projects that we had purchase order for, and there's some that would be that carry forward. However, there are still funds that they need to spend for those projects. Under Public Works, you'll see an increase. You'll also see the encumbrance carry forward, but there is an increase for street sweeper of $30,000. Under the garbage equipment reserve, there's an increase for refuse trucks. And then for IT department, police and fire, as well as road maintenance, there are a few encumbrance carry forwards there. And for the Fifth Avenue construction match under road maintenance, that is a reappropriation. They did not request the matching funds in 2023, but we expect that they will be requesting it in 2024, as well as the mini street construction match. If you'll turn back with me, we'll take a look at the summary report of this on page 2 for the general fund. You'll see the $5 million decrease in the revenue side. So we will be on a total revenue appropriation. We're moving from $47.5 million down to $42.5 million. If you'll follow, go down to the expenditure appropriation, you'll see we're moving from $46 million. There's an increase of $215,000. And just to let you know, portions of that is that encumbrance carry forward from the prior year, and then that will bring our total expenditure appropriation to $46.3 million. And if we're looking at the fund balance section of this, of the general fund, you'll see that our estimated unassigned balance will be 15.986. And that is why the Finance Committee is recommending that $5 million transfer. Any questions before I go to the summary on the capital fund?
I just have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Sprinkle.
You're telling us that the reappropriation is to say they haven't spent it yet, but we know we need to spend it.
What the reappropriate, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to have that. And then the encumbrance carried forward is almost the same thing. Right.
It's almost the same thing. The difference between the two is, one, you have a contract with a vendor, and you have issued a purchase order. And then in the other case, you had appropriated last year for the spending, and we were maybe for some reason or another, we did not spend the funds, all of the funds during 2023, maybe portions of the funds. But we know that we need to complete the project, and so eventually we will have a purchase order for it.
So this is, okay.
Mm-hmm. One, you have the purchase order, and two, you are asking back for those funds to finish the project.
Ms. Rogers, do you have any questions?
No, thank you. I'm busy writing a lot of notes here, though.
Okay, Mr. Ringstead?
Good question.
So in looking through this list between the encumbrances and the new money, some of these, I think, or some of these were items we discussed when we did the budget in the last year, right?
Correct.
So I guess it would be clear in my mind from a budgeting perspective if we said, okay, here's the ones you've already approved. We effectively approved spending X amount of money. It's just a matter of which year we put it into. Some of these are new items. Some of them we may have said yes or no to and decided not to do it in December, and now it's coming back at us again.
Right.
So, I mean, it's to me, it's not real clear which is which.
Okay. For if we go back to page 6.
Page 6.
I want to clarify. Take, for example, let's look at the child care project, for example.
Right.
Okay. So, last year you appropriated $500,000 for that project, for the child care project. So we started the project in 2023. We were unable to, because we had some expenditures associated with it, but now we are ready to do some of the work that's associated with it. So what, in that case, it's a project you approved in 2023, we're in the middle of completing the project, but we did not get to a certain stage where we've appropriated all of the funds.
Are these numbers then, okay, so that one, you spent $45,000, we appropriated $500,000, you spent
$40,000.
So to me, I want to be able to see, are we adding money? Are we reducing the cost? Just in these money, these dollar amounts to me are completely out of context.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And I could put a little note beside it, original budget, $500,000 or something like that, so you can see what the difference is.
So when you audit the 2023, you'll show that we've only spent the $45,000.
Correct.
So we're not asking for more money. We're just moving it to a different year.
Correct.
What you're doing is you're authorizing the expenditure of what was not expended in 2023.
Correct.
There is no budget change. It's just a different budget year.
And that is why I mentioned earlier, you had 6.9 when the year finished in the capital, but when you reappropriated these dollars, that brought that number down.
I think it's confusing when you look at capital fund $5 million to increase in revenue, and then you see another bigger number to increase expenditures. It looks like, we're shopping all over again.
This is that time of year where you're going to see that, because what we didn't spend in 2023, you're authorizing for 2024. Mr. Ringstead.
So the reauthorization, I guess, is legitimate if we know how much we've spent and how much we're spending and what the difference is.
Yeah.
Then we go into, in the same list, we have
increases.
Street sweeper. Why didn't we talk about a street sweeper 6 weeks ago?
You did. In this case, for the street sweeper, you did budget for a street sweeper. However, the cost came in higher than you had budgeted.
I guess if I'm being asked to give more money, I should know that before we get into that discussion.
Yeah.
So rather than just blow through and say, here's several million dollars worth of money, we should know. What, okay, $5,000 for refuge trucks. You know, I have no idea what we're doing. You know, and I think that we should have a better. So anybody that can look at these says, okay, I know why we're doing this,
mm-hmm.
right?
And that I can add on a parentheses beside the street sweeper and the refuge truck increased cost. Higher than your budget or whatever, I can add some additional notes to it.
I mean, I read these yesterday, and it's like, I have no idea why we're doing this.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Thanks.
Mr. Clayworth.
The encumbrances are always confusing. When we adopted the budget this year, the bottom line for the balance was $5.9 million that we would still have in capital that is not appropriated. If we're transferring $5 million into it from the prior year, that'll bring it up to $10 million. So you're right. When you look at $5 million increase and a $7.8 million decrease, you think we're going backwards. That's not true. We're actually going to be increasing the capital fund up to a $10 million balance, which is where, as you remember, the Finance Committee was shooting that.
But anybody that would read this wouldn't get that.
Correct. If we go to page 3 of our ordinance and the capital fund side of it, you'll see that your total revenue appropriation, we started with a budget of 2.4 million. We're adding in the 5 million now, we're at 7.4 million. We started with the total expenditure appropriation of 6.8 million. We're adding in the 7.7 million. For 14.6 million. Now let's talk about the fund balance side of things, because this is where I think it helps to see the difference in the 5 million. I don't know if you have your budget present, and this is the structure that you have requested that I report it by unassigned fund balance and what was assigned. In other words, how much of your capital fund did you set aside for departments for certain spending, and what is actually unassigned? If you were looking at your budget at 2024, when we started out, within our budget, we said we only had $5.9 million in the capital fund. If we were looking at our budget, not the one that's before you now, but the budget that you completed on page 186 of your budget book, I just wanted to show you the impact of where, you know, why you're seeing an increase. If we were looking at our budget on page 186 and we were looking at the estimated fund balance, we said at the end of that year that we were going to have $5.9 million in the capital fund left. And that was with the thinking that all of these items that we are reappropriating was spent in 2023. But since they weren't, now, and if you look at page 3 on Ordinance 6275, it moved from $5.9 million to $14.6 million because all of those funds that we didn't spend came back into that bottom line. And now you're reappropriating those funds. I know it's kind of confusing, and I wish there was a way.
Ms. Turingstead.
It can bring more info to you.
I understand the moving the money from account to account, but the fact that, okay, we're changing our capital budget by $7.9 million less than 8 weeks after we approved our budget. Well, why didn't we know some of this 8 weeks ago? You know, to me, that's a huge percentage of our budget. Our budget's
6 weeks ago, you were working on the 2024 budget, not what was left in 2023. Now what you're doing is saying, okay, we did not expend this in 2023, so we're approving the expenditure of in 2024.
I get that. But, I mean, I'm looking at it saying, okay, our budget, I mean, $8 million is 20% of our budget, 15% of our budget.
But
so we're, you know, in terms of planning and budgeting, it would have been good to know that, okay, we're going to budget so much and change it. Okay, that's a huge increase that we should have been further ahead of ourselves than where we are.
I think a good way to look at it, Mr. Ringstead, is that you appropriated, first of all, we're talking about a capital fund, which is really a multi-year. Most of your projects are multi-year. They're going to roll. So basically what you're doing is whatever's not done in project-wise in 2023, you're just moving those funds over to 2024 to spend. Most municipalities have a biannual for their capital funds and sometimes for their general fund. You have a year-to-year budget, so even though you have a project that we know may take a couple of years, if we don't encumber it in that year,
also,
we have to roll it over to the next year.
Margarita,
so the capital fund is very common.
When did you close out the books for 2023?
We finished in January of 31st is when we kind
so
of finalized everything.
So you
cannot
have given the accurate numbers anyway. Until now.
Correct.
So you're showing the accurate numbers now as soon as you knew them.
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle.
So I guess I understand what John's asking, but I do concern, is that the word I want? And when I look at the increases that aren't encumbered, they aren't carried forward, why are those numbers new to us as we sit here today? Is it because we didn't know until January 31st that these were 50,000 increase for the fire trainees or the wellness program or the increase in refuse trucks? That adds up, but I just wonder, is this normally to get this kind of information now versus earlier?
Well, in some cases, take for example the trainees. When we discussed this account, I had proposed $100,000 during the budget process, and we said, well, we'll look at it at a budget amendment. Your $10 million that you're adding in the Clay Street Cemetery, I mean, that's a discussion that came forth. So after you had prepared the budget. So the other items, you're just authorizing the employees. These are funds from 2023 that you're carrying forward in 2024 from contracts that started in 2023. So you're actually adding revenue and you're decreasing expenses in a sense, because you're carrying those funds over to the next year.
And with regards to the Clay Street Cemetery, the $10,000, not 10 million, but the 10,000, did we decide on
did
that?
Did I say million? Sorry.
I thought 10, we were just waiting to talk about that.
So at the last council meeting, it was decided that that would come to this work session for the first budget amendment, and it would be included in that budget amendment.
That's right.
That's what was decided at that meeting.
So we haven't decided that we want that. We're just talking about
well,
it.
Well, that's why you have it in front of you.
Okay.
It was discussed at our last council meeting. You had Aldine come in, and then you had Mr. Spencer come in with the request of the $10,000.
So
they
now
could get
is the
more
time.
Done. Yes, it was fully discussed, vetted,
okay,
and it was put here for your review. Now, something you should understand, when it comes to a budget, it starts getting put together in September, and then we discuss it in October and November. Then you vote on it in December. So what you're seeing now is your adjustments from a budget that was put together in September and October. October for you.
Understood.
And these are real-time adjustments. And again, a budget changes throughout the year. But here you go for your first round. Mr. Sanders.
If it helps any with the capital fund, you're only looking at $35,000 of difference. All the rest of this you guys have already approved. Some of these projects are going to take multiple years. We can't, you know, just because we appropriated something in 2023 doesn't mean that we can get it all done that year if it's a project that we know is going to take 2 or 3 years.
Mr. Clayworth.
And that 10,000, Sue, is out of the, you probably know, out of the general fund, not the capital fund.
I just didn't realize we'd voted or that we had decided.
We didn't. We just said to include it. It's got to be voted up or down with this, or it could be amended at the time.
The mayor added it to the budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. To beat a dead horse, I like doing that now and then, I guess. On the platform, we've talked about that in the past. To repair that, we have to drive that thing to Pennsylvania and then bring it back home. I remember once when we bought a platform, a brand new one that was being driven up the highway that didn't make it, and we had to send people down to fix the darn thing. They're not great long-distance vehicles. To say the least, but is the plan to still do that?
Plans to ship it. It has been to ship it, not to drive it.
To ship it all the way?
Yeah, because they're not designed for for driving across the country.
To drive.
Yeah, especially on the, you know, they won't make it right now, that's for sure.
What's the shipping going to cost on that thing?
I don't remember. It was cheaper than driving it, though. Yeah, way cheaper than buying a new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess
not including the funding of the people driving it.
I would propose and hope you think about it to take that money and put it into our capital fund for a new start funding that thing, since we need $1.5 million to do it, and not put the money into this old piece of equipment. But I've said that before, and unless I can change some minds, it's going to happen. So,
but what you wanted before was you wanted confirmation from Mr. Record that is the best option, and that, you know, our senior mechanic is saying that is the best option, that it still has life in it. So,
I talked to him about it. I mean, he said yes, but he also wasn't excited about it.
No, it's not a new toy.
No, I mean, I don't.
Is there any other discussion on the?
This is
Ms. Rogers.
In listening to all of this discussion, one of the things I am hearing is, especially from John's questions and comments, is that perhaps there's need and desire for more reference rather than just numbers, but that be some sort of reference that defines the why of something, because I've heard a couple of comments repeated about, well, why this and why that. So maybe that's how we take care of this, is to have a budget narrative or something like that that answers likely questions. How's that?
Thank you, Ms. Orange. If I can, if we can go back to page 2, and then I'll finish page 3. We did get an opportunity to talk about the fund balance section. If you look at page 2, and if you review the fund balance section, under the general fund, we give you details on how much of this change was a prior year encumbrance. You can see that $155,961 was for prior year encumbrance, which means that the funds from last year were carrying them forward for this purpose. The transfer to other funds, you see that broken out, and then you see other changes to the budget. So that is the true amount of what you're transferring. You're deducting your budget numbers really by that $60,000. So if you see that we started the year with a surplus of $1.4 million, this budget amendment is reducing it by $60,000, and now we have a budget surplus of $1.379. And I think what I will do is I will change the capital fund to fit that same structure, because if we were looking at this the same way on page 3 like you are on page 2, you would see that the actual increase in expenses for this budgeting year was $90,000 increase versus the 7.7 million that you're seeing.
I think that's a good idea. I think not just for the capital fund, but you go through the general account here where we've got several items. Some are carried forward. Increase for trainees, filling vacant positions. Some of this is new money. And we should, in my mind, there's a difference between new money and just doing accounting work. Right. What we really should be discussing is the new money. Are we going to spend the new money? And if we could break them out that way, then it'd be real clean to see which one's the new money and which one is just an annual accounting process. Because there are several of them in here that are that. So that's what we should actually talk about.
I think the way that Marguerite explained it in the future with the prior encumbrances being shown in capital, that'll become more apparent for you. Ms. Frankel?
So when you say, again, under the on page 5, under general account, add wellness program to medical line, is that a cost? Is that, what is that?
No, it will not increase the budget line item for that particular line item, but it is authorizing them to spend it beyond expenditures. When
know.
You review the budget, you review a narrative portion of it. You're authorizing them to spend the funds for a particular purpose. And so what it does is it just expands the definition under the general fund. If we were looking at our budget book and on page, let's see, if you were to go to page 124, there's a description of what we can use those funds for, and this just increases the what we can use the funds for. It doesn't change the amount.
Okay.
It just changes the narrative.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions before we move on? Okay. Let us go to Ordinance 6276, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Section 78-398, authority to impound vehicles. And if you look at this, what we're doing is we're allowing the city engineer, public works director, or police to remove vehicles. We've had an issue with vehicles being in the streets for more than 24 hours, mm-hmm. blocking people's driveways. And what happens, they'll say to engineering or public works, we got to tow this. And they say, well, only a police officer can do that unless it's snow plowing. Mm-hmm. So this sort of gives authority right down the line. The sprinkle.
So in an instance where I see on...
say Fifth Avenue.
Or Dunkel. There's a property owner who has large work trucks and trailers and recreational vehicles that are on both sides of the street, makes it hard to pass, certainly hard to plow. We've called about it. This would be able to...
The only person who could tag that right now is a police officer. So what we'd have to do is take the resources of a police officer and have him go over and put a tag on it 24 hours. What this does...
We're not doing that. Yeah,
no. What this does allows the city engineer to do that and public works.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Marty.
I think this is a great ordinance. I've got a friend of mine that between Jeff and Bob and that crew, her garage faces an alley. She's on Hilton. And there is an ongoing issue with a guy parking five or six cars behind her garage where she can't get out. And yeah. he keeps on kicking
not
the
being
pony down.
Not being neighborly.
And not right. being neighborly. Good. Yes, sir.
And so how does this get enacted? So a neighbor says, hey, I got a problem. They call the who?
They call me.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to be very bluntly honest. In the last 3 months, this has become more of a problem than our increase in our trash fees with people calling. It's been very problematic. And when you have a person like your friend who has their vehicles that are stuck because someone is parking behind them in the street, and then then you just go down the line and you send the police officer over there finally, and it's taken that resource away where it should be a city engineer, because they have a lot of, they do the street ones for street snow plowing, so it's just expanding their scope of work.
So are they going to tow right away, or are they going to give
24 hours tagging it?
Okay.
It's a 24-hour period. Mr. Engstead.
So I think this is a good idea. I'm so surprised it was this narrow to begin with. I have to assume on this is good discretion is probably going to be used by whoever that's making their decision at that point. Going past Eielson the other day, there's a vehicle that's been parked out there by the South Gate for several days, and we both looked at that and thought, at least, at 45 below, don't get in a hurry to make them move it when it really isn't a problem.
Yeah.
So give people the time to deal with it. Conditions.
Yes. Mr. Clearworth.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Just a technicality. Under Section A there, I think some of the original language is not included. I'm trying to look at the original language compared to the amended language, and it seems to be missing.
Okay.
So if we could look at
under
that.
Section A?
Yeah, because the way the original language reads, if I'm doing this right, it says, whenever any vehicle shall be located or is standing upon any street, alley, right-of-way, or city parking lot in violation of the provisions of this article or any rule or regulation adopted pursuant to this article, or whenever such vehicle could be a traffic safety hazard, or whenever any vehicle shall be found to be mechanically unsafe to operate upon the city's street or alley, and it just quits there in the middle of a sentence, so we don't see what the original language was. So
I know why. Because the original language is actually continued with B, where we've made B a separate new item.
Oh, okay.
So the paragraph
gotcha.
Would have previously has continued. Now we're making a new paragraph break.
Okay, it goes down to the next section. Okay.
Yeah, it's odd. I looked at that too, Mr. Cleaver.
Okay, yeah, I wouldn't have caught that. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Dupuy, your hand is raised.
Yes, sir. Hey, I just wanted to advise the council. This doesn't change our 24-hour rule, so we still will have to post the vehicles for a 24-hour site before we can actually tow them. And what typically ends up happening, and we've had this come up recently as well, especially with snow removal, is we'll go site the vehicle and they'll move it, you know, 5 feet, which, you know, by law, they've moved the vehicle, so it's no longer an issue. And then we have to start that whole process all over again. So while it is a solution, I don't think it's going to be the solution to taking care of a lot of these problems.
Moves and counter moves. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
Well, how do we avoid that then? It just seems like if we could... I mean, I can hear that, and I can imagine some of my neighbors doing that, just moving things around. It's really a pain.
You know, when you look at this, there is no one shoe that fits all.
Yeah. You got a bad neighbor, you got a bad neighbor.
Okay. Exactly.
But we don't want it to be labor-intensive.
No, we don't.
Right.
No, we don't. What we want to do is open this up for the city engineer and public works to also be available to tag them. That's what this does. Any other questions before we move on? Okay. Sarah, annual asset forfeiture report. First of all, did you see your cookie there?
I did, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone who comes here new at 7 a.m. to join us, we got to treat well.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay, good morning, everybody. What you see here is our annual certification report for our asset forfeiture program. Basically, what we have to do every year is just report on the funds that we have expended. And we have two different sets of funds, the justice funds and the treasury funds. Those are broken up based on which agency participants have given us funds. And during the year, we received $27,455.46 through the justice funds, but we did not have expenses for either funds. So basically, this report lets them know that. And again, it's just a requirement annually.
Any questions? Mr. Ringstead.
So what happened to this money the other end? Okay, we increase the amount of money in there. I guess that's a good thing. But is this something that at some point the council transfers over into the general fund if you get too much money in here? Or conversely, if they have to spend money, we have to appropriate that? Or I'm just not familiar with this at all.
So these funds will stay within the asset forfeiture program, and they have specific uses that we can use for it for law enforcement. And it's actually a wide range of things that we can do with it. In the past, we've bought supplies, equipment, and used it for grant matching.
I don't think I've ever seen this before.
Here's on council. Is this every year?
You some missed, years we don't receive meeting. Funds.
You know, at 7 a.m., I don't recall too many things either, you know, a year ago. Mr. Ringstead.
Where does the money come from?
So what you see here is there's the justice funds and the treasury funds, and there's different agency participants for both. So for the justice funds, the FBI, DEA, ATF, and then for the treasury funds, it's IRS, ICE, CBP. And so my understanding is that it's cases that the Fairbanks Police Department participates in. And so once those have made it through the legal process and are closed out, we can get a portion of equipment that was seized or money that's seized. So.
Okay.
So thanks. Can we not allocate this to the police department? Or?
It has to be for the police department.
But
Mr. Ringstead.
But who then, do we have to put that into a budget item to do that, or you can just spend it?
I I can address that.
Per code, this is one of the areas in the code where the police department can spend the funds without an appropriation, without a budget. Mm-hmm. And we're required every year to come before you to let you know what how you much did. They spent and what they spent it on. Mm-hmm. And so this is what this report is for, is to let you know that they received this amount, but they didn't spend anything this year.
Well, Mr. Clayworth.
A lot of it, and the chief is online with us, and I hope he responds to it, but I think a lot of it is used for ammunition. But as another question for you, Chief, are we close? When is the last time we had a firearm sale, and are we going to be doing anything soon on that?
I believe we had a firearm sale last year in part of the auctions in the fall time.
Okay.
I don't know if we're ready to do another one. And as far as the asset forfeiture money goes, we have not spent any of that yet. We are using it for a building upgrade for the front door. We'll be using about $30,000 of it for that. But that's the only thing we have so far. We do have some firearm stuff that we are looking at possibly purchasing in the future here that we could utilize some of that money for. But that, just to go back a little bit further, that money comes from our officer that's tied into the Abade unit, the HIDA drug team here in town. So if we don't have an officer there, if we don't have an officer assigned there, we lose out on those funds, even if they're conducting investigations inside the city. So that's why it's really important for us to have an officer assigned over there to get, you know, our portion of those asset forfeiture funds when they go through that process.
Thank you, Chief. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Sarah. Greatly appreciate it. Enjoy your breakfast. Next is the Finance Committee report, and we'll go with Margarita.
You have a copy of the Finance Committee meeting report. We had a great meeting on January the 25th. We focused primarily on the capital fund, and a part of that discussion on the capital fund, we also discussed a recommendation for the transfer. Mr. Clayworth joined us, and we appreciate it that he was present for our meeting to discuss the transfer. As you can see from their report, as of December 31, we had a balance sheet of an unassigned fund balance and a general fund of $19.7 million and $6.9 million in the capital fund. We kind of talked about the difference in that amount based on reappropriations and encumbrance carry forward makes a difference in that fund balance. As regarding revenues and expenditures, for the general fund, we had $40.8 million and $1.1 million in the capital fund for expenditures and revenues. And for expenditures, we had $40.5 million in the general fund and $3.1 million in the capital fund. Our cash flow balance as of December 31 was $39.3 million. The committee, they reviewed the 10-year history of the revenues and expenditures of the capital fund. They reviewed the fund balance, projects that departments have projected for the future year. And we're starting to find a way to fund the capital fund in the future. And some of the suggestions that came out of that meeting was to transfer any unassigned balance in excess of $13 million from the general fund to the capital fund, maintaining an unassigned $10 million in the capital fund, which means that we would have to, transfer from the general fund to cover that. But then, of course, we thought about, well, we have to watch the general fund side of things as well because it has a minimum balance. And then one of the things that we kind of discussed was applying interest income right now. Any interest income we receive from capital fund balance goes into the general fund, probably making sure that that interest goes into the capital fund versus the general fund, and to apply a sale of capital assets back into that particular fund, and apply any lease payments from property developed in the capital fund, from capital funds into the capital fund. So thinking of ways to maintain the funds that we will need in the future within that fund. So we started the discussion, and we'll continue that at our next meeting and really dig into, we do a thorough review of the general fund, and so we'll do that at our next meeting and continue our conversation about the capital fund. And the members did propose a transfer of $5 million, which you saw in the budget amendment. And that's the report from the Finance Committee meeting.
I'd like to thank Mr. Clearworth for attending. And I'd also like to thank Ms. Sprinkle for attending while she was in Costa Rica.
I was actually here with
this is a very important committee that's been operating now for a year. And I just like how it's evolved. Very astute people on it. And every city council member is available, if not encouraged, to attend this so you can see where it starts and how it starts. So thank you. Okay, let's go to mayor and city council member comments. We're going to start with the person who's got back from Costa Rica, Sue Sprinkle.
All right, well, thank you for letting me go. That was a really great break for me, but I would say big meeting. This is fantastic stuff. Thank you, Lonnie and John, for working through this bed tax. I think it's really important, and I appreciate you've done such a thorough job of helping each sector of the finance of those different entities to not get burdened inappropriately. So I appreciate that. I think our finance meetings have been really fantastic. Jerry, thank you for joining us the last one. It was really hero's work, I think. Margarita, you do a great job of bringing all the paperwork to us, and you know it's a lot of numbers, but I think if we help our capital fund get healthy and stay healthy, I think we're going to be in good shape. Last but not least, I want to make note of the Alaska Motor Lodge fire and thank our fire department for saving people, saving themselves, being safe. But I am concerned about that building and why that was allowed to be the building it is. So I'm just going to put that as a little bug in our ear that we'll follow up on that, Mayor. Make that a thing to deal with. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Ms. Rogers.
Well, thank you for the option of attending by Zoom this morning. And because it was a good meeting, I took a lot of notes. Take care.
Mr. Clayworth.
Not much. Sue actually touched on the same thing I was thinking of in the Alaska Motor Lodge. What would the status of that building be? It'd be nice if we could learn if the owners are going to demolish it at this point, or if they are not going to demolish it, if there would be a condemnation procedure possibly or something along those lines. Anyway, just curious what the status was and if that's even been shared with the city.
Mr. Ringstead. Mr. Marney.
No, just great meeting. And I'm proud that Margarita's dream has come through with that finance committee. And I know she's been wanting that a long time.
On behalf of Ms. Tidwell, I'll say that Mexico looked really good last week.
Yeah, no kidding.
And on behalf of myself, going through a budget ordinance for the first time, it can get very confusing with the transfers that you didn't expend and what you're reauthorizing. Good questions came up. I think that Margarita's thought of showing in the future prior encumbrances in capital will help a lot. But also, if you look at our general fund, you know, it changes the budget with $60,000 in the operating. So we're not doing anything significant yet. If and when we do, you all know it. That's how we are. Our next meeting is Tuesday, February 20th at 7 a.m. Sarah, I do not anticipate seeing you. We're adjourned.